Welcome to Step Into the Story. Incredible conversations of how the Bible changes lives, changes families, and changes communities across the globe. And here's your host, Phil Tuttle of Walk Through the Bible.
Well, welcome to Step Into the Story. I'm your host, Phil Tuttle with Walk Through the Bible. And today's conversation with Christina, you are going to love this. And Christina, welcome to Step Into the Story.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the first time we've actually met, and if Zoom counts, we're getting to meet. But you have been big news around our office, and Donna Pinnell did an article about you with you a couple years ago, a year or so maybe. But we just wanted to check in and have a conversation and let you tell your story in your own words. I will just tell everybody who's listening, when the dates go by and the years that Christina mentions, you know, we all have memories of that season, kind of as a nation. We faced COVID together. We went through different things. I know we just had our fifth grandchild born a week or so ago, so we measure time by the birth of kids and grandkids and all that good stuff. But Christina, I'm telling you, your story tracks perfectly in alignment with some of the toughest season that God ever allowed Walk Through the Bible to go through. And that's not the main focus that I want to talk about today. But now we're in, our board would say, in every level of measurement. You know, certainly they look at finances like a good board has to. But in terms of impact, in terms of just unity, in terms of focus, in terms of just incredible opportunities that God's given us around the world, this is arguably the healthiest time Walk Through the Bible has ever had in its 49-year history. But the amazing thing is how close we came to just saying, hey, we've had a 30-year or so run. I guess maybe God thinks that we've finished our work. And I'm telling you, it was worth it to keep the doors open for your story and this series of events only. So I come to this with a pretty loaded emotionally, just after reading through that article again. And I'm so glad we get to talk about this. Well, anybody who's listening to this is like, what in the world is Phil talking about? Who is Christina? What's going on? So let's go back and let's begin to put this together in a logical order. But it is against that backdrop of yay God that this conversation takes place today on Step Into the Story. So Christina, tell us some about how you were raised, your growing up family. You were in, I highlighted it in the article, Yankton, South Dakota. Not sure I've ever been there. What is that near, if anything?
Sure, we are in the southeast corner of South Dakota.
Okay.
And if anyone's heard of it, it only would be because Tom Brokaw is from there.
So really?
The nightly news anchor. And so I actually, the radio station I started at is the same radio station that he started at. And my sister now owns that radio station. We all were in the industry for a bit. And so we're connected to Nebraska and only about 30 minutes from Minnesota, Iowa.
Got it.
So I used to say from the flat, boring side of South Dakota, because you've got Mount Rushmore and the beautiful Black Hills, but that's the west side of South Dakota. I'm plains of South Dakota, which is where Yankton is. And my whole family is still there. I'm the only one that's not.
Wow. So tell us about your growing up years.
Sure. So my dad was a professional violinist. I just love that that was his chosen career. He, after getting his master's in music, chose to do the Peace Corps and was stationed in La Serena, Chile, and was teaching music. That was his peacekeeping mission, teaching music at a conservatory where my mother, Lelia, was taking piano and dance at the same conservatory. And they met in Chile. So that is where Munoz comes from. They married there, and we always go, gosh, it's so beautiful in Chile. How did you ever leave? Well, it was 1969, which is just a few years before
Wow.
the government was overthrown by the military.
Sure.
With Pinochet as the dictator. And they chose America. And we laugh because we think my mom was thinking, I don't know, New York or LA, not Yankton, South Dakota, and not in January. It was 29 below zero actual temp. She didn't speak a word of English. She cried for 6 months straight.
Wow. Wow.
So they have three kids. I'm the youngest of three daughters. We all were into lots of singing and dancing and very musical theater. I chose to pursue a musical theater degree at the University of Minnesota, and then performed professionally for about 3 years. And I always laugh at the first gig I got in. I was 19 years old. They auditioned probably 200 some dancers, and only eight got in, and I got in and thought I had won the lottery. Thought I wanted to do this the rest of my life. The show was Can Can, and we did 8 shows a week. We counted one time, nine. It kicks a show, 8 shows a week, 300 performances of the same show. And I changed my mind. I said, this is not what I want to do the rest of my life. And you get paid very little. And so I continued performing, but I switched my degree to broadcast journalism. I had done
Okay.
radio and I enjoyed that. So as I performed through college, when I graduated, I made the decision to pursue broadcast journalism, took a job in Duluth, Minnesota, and a small market. And then from there, took a job in Little Rock, Arkansas. That's how I ended up here. We only were going to be here 2 years tops. And the industry started changing. There were a lot of layoffs in the news broadcast industry. And they were letting me anchor here. And I was having recognizability. And so we decided to stay in Little Rock. So that's how we ended up here.
So sounds like some pretty strategic moves, life that a lot of people would dream about. But there's a subplot running through that. You're going through during this time in your life some really tough trials too. You mind opening up about those today too?
Of course, of course. I always say I'm an open book. We grew up going to church, and it's so funny because I remember systematically going to church. I mean, every Sunday we went to church. The church we went to, I always joke about, it was very social for us. So we would bring a casserole and socialize with the church members. We would never talk about God or faith or prayer outside of those church building. My mother was raised Catholic, which is very common in Chile. Did not have a good experience there, so enjoyed leaving that and going to my dad's church. But was really easy to move away from church, faith, anything of that in the theater industry in Minneapolis for whatever reason. Most of my friends were atheist, agnostic, anti, and I kind of became that. I was surrounded by that. And so it was really easy to just walk away. We moved to the South, Bible Belt, and I was pretty much annoyed when people would say, "Have you found a church yet? Have you found a church yet?" And I would say, "We're still looking." We weren't. Wasn't interested whatsoever. And I worked Sundays as a reporter. I mean, I was always working. And so it was about a year and a half after we moved here. So it was January of 2005, and we moved in 2003. And I get one of those phone calls from my dad, and he had shared that they had found some cancer. And it's called bile duct cancer. It's very rare. And at the time, he just said, we're gonna take the steps. We're gonna do what we need to do. We said, okay. Well, about a week and a half later, he ends up in the hospital. We get that phone call. We go up. It's 800 miles straight north, 12-hour drive. We know it very well. And we get up there. They get him out of the hospital, and he sits us all down. It's my sisters and my mom and I. And he tells us three things, and he says they've given him weeks. Basically, the cancer had spread to the liver, and it was 90% of the liver. He said he was glad it was him, none of us, as a good father would. He let us know that he had lived a great life. He played violin all his life. He was in the South Dakota Symphony, the Sioux City Symphony. And the third thing he said was that he wasn't mad at God. And that was weird for us. We didn't talk about God outside of church. And so in that moment, we decided to pray. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know how to do that. My family in Chile was sending us saints, saint of healing, saint, because that's how they pray. And so I remember just begging God, just please heal my dad, please heal my dad. We went back to Arkansas, and he was taking the treatment and doing the steps, and it actually really seemed to be working. He was 6 months later. Here we are in June, and the treatment's been working. The cancer was showing up less in all the scans. He was all about quality of life. He wanted to come visit us in Little Rock, and so he did. It was probably too much for him. It was probably too strenuous. On the way home, my mom takes him straight to the hospital. He was struggling to breathe. And they were there for 3 weeks, and we get one of those phone calls, you better get up here. So we go up 12 hours, 800 miles. His lung had collapsed. He was in ICU. And so that was Friday. On Saturday, he got better. He was out of ICU. And I remember we watched a Minnesota Twins game in his room. And it's so funny. I felt compelled to pray, but I really didn't know what that meant. So I did say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the first thing that my dad taught my mom in English, which I don't even know why. And so that meant a lot to my family. So we said that. So then here we are on Monday, and my dad was big about, I gave you roots and wings. You love your job. Go. So we get in the car. We drive about 7 hours. So we're about an hour south of Kansas City, and we get that phone call that you better get back up here. And I guess I technically missed it by about 30 seconds. But they waited for time of death until I got there. And to say I was devastated would be an understatement. I was a daddy's girl. I was 24. Nothing bad had really ever happened to me. And I made a clear conscious decision that I was never going to pray again. I prayed for one thing, and I didn't get what I wanted, at least in the way that I wanted it. And I shut down and I just said, forget this. This is not for me. I'm walking away from God, from faith, from all of it. And that was June of 2005. So I lived that way for about 6 months. And it's so funny, like looking back, it's such a dark time. I mean, I understand why now it was. That wasn't me. I wasn't my smiley self. I was just in a bad place. And it's now about December, and I love Christmas. I love everything Christmas. I love Christmas carols. I love all the Christmas. And I felt very uncomfortable if I'm celebrating Christmas, but I don't believe in this thing and Jesus and God. I shouldn't be doing this. So it was an awkward time. And we had some friends that had become friends of ours that were a very faith-filled family. And they had invited us to go to church, and we had said no. But they invited us to this production at their church called the Bema, which is Greek for the judgment day, judgment seat. And it's a one pastor production. I didn't want to go, but they said she had put calligraphy on the invitation. There was glitter involved. And she said, we can go to dessert afterwards.
How
And
do
I'm
you
like,
say
okay,
no
I
to
like going to
glitter and
dessert.
calligraphy? There's no possible way. Yeah.
Just remember how important that invitation is, because all the other friends said no. We were good friends. We said, okay, we'll go. And so we go to this production, and it's all about that day, that judgment seat day. And of course, in the show, the lead missed opportunities to pray and different things. And at the end, it's a dream. He gets to go back and relive it all. But I felt this overwhelming feeling of guilt. And at the end, they gave an opportunity to give your life to Christ. And I did. And it was a very clear spiritual feeling that I was supposed to. I keep saying, if that opportunity had ever been presented to me prior, it either
Right.
hadn't or I wasn't paying attention. I don't know the answer to that. So, and then it's this weird kind of now what? I don't even know what this means or what's happening. And so it is now about January, and my husband was working at a water purification company where his boss's wife was over the women's ministries at that same church, and they had invited us to come to church, and we weren't interested either. But she invited me to her Bible study, and I'll be honest, I didn't even know normal people went to Bible studies. I thought only nuns got together and studied the Bible. I didn't even know this was a thing, but I really liked her. We had a relationship. I knew some of the girls in her group. And let me tell you, those 11 women, we still are at a text group together today and pray for each other today. And they were absolutely pivotal in my journey. It was a Priscilla Schreier Bible study. It was hearing from God, which is so funny because I had never stopped to think I'm supposed to listen to God. I had just thrown my requests up to say, this is what I want. And I mean, when you don't know those things and you don't know what you don't know, it's so enlightening to get in there and start digging and learning. And I was just all in. And I'll never forget that at the end of that semester, they had a speaker that came in. I couldn't even tell you from where. And they had asked me to share my story. So 30 seconds of just my story. And here I am. I'm an anchor of the number one newscast in the state. And I couldn't even stand. I was shaking so much from head to toe. I mean, I'd never shared something so personal and so emotional. And along that way, they had told us to choose a life verse. Actually, it was a verse for the year. And what does this generation do when we want to look for something? We go to Google. So I start Googling verses, and I was still so distraught about my dad's death that I'm looking at death. I'm like, well, that's not a great idea when you start in the Old Testament. There's some different stuff about death in the Old Testament. But okay, we get to the New Testament. And I was completely drawn to 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we don't focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And I just felt so connected to that verse. And I shared that in my 30 seconds. And the speaker that had flown in from somewhere, her whole thing was on that verse.
No way.
And that became my life verse, not my year verse. And that is the one that I have always held on to and hung on to about, we don't always understand what happens here and what we can see. And that's kind of where the journey began. So then we start having Bible studies every year with this group of women. And we ended up, during that time, we decided to have kids. We get told we can't have kids. If anyone's who's been through this infertility journey, you may understand this. It was actually good news when I was told I am medically infertile, scientifically. My body doesn't do the things it's supposed to do. It's good news because insurance kicks in. If it's undetermined infertility, insurance doesn't always help. So we were ready to go down the road of IVF. We were ready to go down adoption. We do both of them at the same time. And I literally have to take a pregnancy test before, I can start the medications that I needed, and it says pregnant. And I mean, total miracle baby. We to this day cannot explain who, what, where, why, when. And we have this pregnancy. Our miracle baby is born October 18th, 2008. And 2 days later, my friend and coworker, Ann Presley, is attacked and left for dead in her home. And she died 5 days later. And I have a 2-day-old baby that I'm trying to take care of. And I can tell you without a doubt, without my faith and without that group of Bible study gals, I would not have survived. I don't have what you need to get through something like that. We had fear. he was on the loose for 36 days. They did arrest him. He's in prison. But we didn't know if he was looking for news anchors. He wasn't, but we didn't know. I have a new child that I'm taking care of, and sleep deprived and all those other things. And it was so pivotal for me because I couldn't go to the hospital and visit Anne. That's where everybody else was. And her mom was there, and her mom and I had a relationship, and she would call me on the phone and ask me about my child. And I would hear her say things like, "Jesus has got this. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay." She's watching her only daughter lose her own life in front of her, and was saying things like, "It's going to be okay," with the hope of Christ. I watched my mom get really angry at God, get really angry at my dad for leaving, and didn't have that faith to guide her through. And I had this almost choice before me, and I wanted the kind of faith that Anne Presley's mom was showing me and teaching me. And that was absolutely pivotal. For me, and I always like to say too that I believe I'm a better mom today. Sydney's 16, my second one is 13, second miracle baby. I think I could have been a little bit of a helicopter mom. And in that moment, I remember God just telling me so loudly that I want to protect this child and I want to do everything I can. But so did Anne's mom. Anne's mom wanted to protect Anne. She was a little what we called overprotective. She called her at 3 a.m. that morning because she wasn't awake to do the news. And if she can't protect her daughter, there's nothing I can do. This baby could stop breathing. There's nothing I can do. And that this isn't my child. This child belongs to God. I'm supposed to be a good mom and I got to take care of this child and I got to do all those things that I'm supposed to do. But this child belongs to God, not me. And I'm here to just teach this child to raise her up into the world and release her in faith, in hope, in Christ. And that's it. And it made me realize kind of, I think, my role as a mom. So just huge pivotal moments for me. So when Sydney was, oh gosh, a year, a little over a year, it was 2010. This is the eternal journalist in me. I told my Bible study leader, I said, "Our faith is based on one book, and I've never read it, and that bothers me. I am a journalist. I like to go to the source. I like to know where things come from." And Sarah said, "Okay, let's read through the Bible." And she is the one that found the Daily Walk Bible. So I credit her with all of that because she brought it to us, to our Bible study, and we started January 1 of 2010. I had a 1.5-year-old, and it was incredible. It was just It was so life-changing. And now this is someone who didn't know the stories. I could barely tell you the Christmas story. I could barely tell you the Easter story. So this isn't someone that knew the stories. So reading the Bible was so, in some ways, entertaining. It was new. Even the long, drawn-out parts that I was like, whoa, I didn't know that was in the Bible. It was new to me. And so it was exciting. And you know, when you see those new Christ followers, they get so excited. I mean, that was me. I was so pulled in. And realizing that you don't even get to the New Testament till October, and all of this that happened, that all of this that we'd have to still be doing today if it wasn't for this one moment, if it wasn't for Christ on the cross. And it just made that so much more important, so much more pivotal, and completely changed my life, changed my faith, changed my life, changed everything. And I mean, I can barely even talk about it without crying. It is so pivotal and so important, and I don't know that I ever would have really grasp that if I hadn't read through the Daily Walk Bible.
So, Christina, you were, I mean, it's one thing to just go, I ought to do this. I mean, I talk to so many people, they're like, I'm a Christ follower. I've never read it either. I should do this. Some of that was going on in your mind, but you had a purpose because, you know, you were looking at your friend's mom and seeing a contrast not only with your mom, but also with yourself. And, you were looking for answers. You wanted to know how can he be God if he's not all powerful? And if he's all powerful, why doesn't he grant requests like that? And why do tragedies happen to great people like my friend? And all of that is swirling through your mind. So you're reading it not primarily as an academic exercise. But this is your desperate search for if I'm going to follow this God, I've got to understand him. Can you think of just an example or two of a portion from Scripture where the light bulb went on about some attribute of God or some characteristic of his? Can you think of something like that just off the top of your head?
Absolutely, because I was so hung up on if God is such a good God, you know, things that I had heard, how could he allow these things to happen? How could a good God be okay or allow or any of those things happen? And it was so, gosh, it's in the like first day reading when you've got Adam and Eve and the serpent represented by with Satan, that God created perfection. God created a absolute perfect world. We messed it up. That is us. That is our sin. That is when sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. Bad. So as opposed to, I couldn't credit God for all the good without blaming him for all the bad, that I had this, oh no, we're blaming Satan. We're blaming sin. We're blaming evil. We're not blaming God. Just because he allows something, and then you see the whole picture, you see the ending and how he makes it all right in the end. And you don't know that if you don't read beginning to end. I just feel so passionate about that because here it is in the beginning of Genesis when everything falls apart. And that concept that we have to remember that that's us. It's all representative of us and our sin and everything that we have done. And that's why bad things happen, not because of God, not because God wants it to. He mourns with us. He cries with us. Look at all those. We're in Psalms right now in June, obviously. And so crying out and the sadness that goes with all the sad things that happen here. He didn't create that. He created perfection. We fell. There's a fall. There's a moment in time. And all of that is going to be resurrected, fixed. All of it is going to make sense in the end one day because he promises that. It's in the Bible. I mean, it's absolutely going to be okay. We have to follow him and love him, and he has to know us so he doesn't say, I didn't know you. On that day, I think that was so big too, because so many people that I knew that if, I don't know, agnostic or atheist or whatever they wanted to say, even if they were agnostic or they'd say, I believe in God, and that whole concept, so does Satan. That does nothing. That
Right.
doesn't set you apart whatsoever. That then you get to this New Testament and there's these little lines about only way, that Jesus is the only way. It's not good person. It's not, oh, I gave a lot, I did a lot. That if he doesn't know you, it doesn't matter. That sounds harsh, but that's what was so eye-opening to me and going, oh, and it's so funny to at the end feel like, oh, I understand, but at the same time, there's so much I don't understand. There's so much mystery. There's so much. There's not a checkbox. It's not a check mark. I read through the Bible. I understand it all. And I don't ever want to be misleading and tell anybody that that's it because we wouldn't go back to it. It wouldn't be a living word if that was the case. And so it was just so eye-opening that I was like, now I understand. I understand. I don't get it all. I can't tell you why everything, but I understand.
So, if the story ended here, this would have been a great conversation. And the cool part is now that God has and is in the process of satisfying the longing of your heart, there's no way you're going to keep that to yourself. You're going to share that with every opportunity you get. And in a minute, we'll be back, and Christine and I'll continue the conversation. But she keeps mentioning the Daily Walk Bible. It is, in my opinion, quite possibly the best thing walk through the Bible ever created. A friend of mine, John Hoover, wrote most of the devotionals that are in here. My dad and my stepmom read through the Bible cover to cover, first time in their 80s. And they said, Phil, you need to get Tyndale to put on the cover of this. This is the one that'll get you through Leviticus. Because dad said, I had tried over and over, Exodus, awesome. Genesis, awesome. Exodus, pretty epic. But then you'd hit Leviticus. And you know, your experience with this, it's brand new format. You may not have even seen one of these. I'm gonna mail one of these to you, Christina. But those of you who are listening, it takes the Bible and it divides it up into 365 readings, and then each day there's a lead-in that tells you what you're gonna read today. Gives you your bearings so you're not lost. How does this fit in with the big story? And then there's just some great things that are designed to help you get it off the page and into your life. Because as D.L. Moody said, God didn't give us this book for our information. He gave it to us for our transformation, that it would change us from the inside out. And something else that, Christina, I doubt you've even seen yet, but I'll mail you one of these too. This is brand new at Walk Through the Bible. It's called the Daily Walk Journal. And it helps guide you through this, gives you a place to write down some of your thoughts. You know, this is not like a diary. It's not like a journal that you have to keep under lock and key. You don't have to write every sin you've ever committed in here, anything like that. But this is just to help you track your progress. And you can check that out at walkthrough.org/resources. And we'll make sure that it's featured there so it prominently shows up. And I really would encourage you to take a look at the Daily Walk Bible, because your presenting issues may be different than Christina's, different than my story, but there's something inside of you that says, if this God is who he claims to be, then I want to know him better. Some of you have followed him for decades. Some of you are just checking out this Christianity thing. Go to the source itself for the answers that your heart craves and my heart craves and Christina's heart craves. So let's get back to this conversation. But I hope that God is stirring in you a hunger for the same kind of discovery as Christina's been describing for us. Hey, Christina, welcome back. Let's
Thank
keep
you.
going with this conversation. I can't wait to mail you that new format of the
Thank you.
Daily Walk and also that journal. I think you're going to love it. So it starts with your own personal just aha, not a moment, but a whole series of moments in seeing that these are not just a collection of stories. There's one big story. And you've done a really good job just explaining that. He made it all, we messed it up. He reaches out in all sorts of ways to us, eventually sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. He doesn't stay dead, he's resurrected. And God always finishes what he starts. And in the end, he's not just going to fix it, he's going to recreate it. And then we're going to have the opportunity to live in fellowship and relationship with him in perfection forever. That's a pretty incredible story. But now let's pick up So you're still sorting all this out, but as a good journalist, when you discover truth, you share it. This has got to be the easiest interview I've ever done on Step Into the Story. I think I've asked you three questions, and then I sit back and off you go. But let's dialogue about what happened next and what did God prompt you to do to share this opportunity with others?
I love that question. And yes, I always say I talk for a living. So sorry. I used to have a producer in my ear telling me when to shut up. So yes, I talk a lot. I love how God works because I had no intention. I had no plans of doing anything with this. It was just something that we did. And shortly after that, one of my closest friends, she's still one of my dearest friends to this day, was also pregnant with, our babies are the same age. So we were pregnant at the same time. And she said, you know, my two-year-old someday is going to start asking me questions about faith and I need some help. And she knew that I had gone through things. I had shared that with her. So I didn't really know what to say. And so the Holy Spirit, I said, let's read through the Bible beginning to end. It's so funny that that even came to mind because it wouldn't have if it had been earlier. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what I was suggesting. I didn't even know her faith background. And so we did. And so we went through the whole Bible beginning to end. We would just get coffee and get lunch maybe a couple times a month whenever we could squeeze it in. I remember going to her workplace and reading through the Bible, and we would get together that whole year. And she did it. She read through the Bible beginning to end. And this is what is so crazy in this story. She did not have the same reaction that I did. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the same impact. I don't mean to say that negatively. I just mean to say that everyone's in a different place. My Bible study leader, Sarah, had always helped us with when we were trying to help bring someone to Christ. The three questions that we would try to ask is, do you believe God is who he says he is? Do you, and that the Bible is true? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and walked this earth? Yes, yes, no problem with those. Are you willing to die to self and mm-hmm. give your life to Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she went, maybe. And so, you know, it was weird for me because mine was so revolutionary and life-changing, and she wasn't in the same place.
Right.
And years later, we are still working. We are still working. She recently lost her dad, and that made her come to me again, and we're still having conversations. Everyone mm-hmm. is on a different path and a different journey.
That's right.
And for those of you that are trying, it's not up to you. You can help and you can plant seeds and you can do everything. That's God and the Holy Spirit that are going to actually take that step. And so it's so interesting to me that that didn't stop right there. I didn't feel defeated. I was very, okay, that's just a different reaction than I had. And that's okay. And I had to kind of release that.
So it started with you, then it's you and one friend. And even though the results of that have not been immediate, it's a long-term relationship. Exactly as you said it, everybody's at a different point. And Easter, I got to do the sunrise service at the Garden Tomb a couple months ago, and it was televised all over the place. And we looked at the fact that for some, faith comes easy. For others, it's a long process. But I'll tell you something about your friend, like Thomas, who says, well, this may be all right for all of you, but I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands in the nail prints in his hands, unless I touch those, unless I put my hand in the wound in his side, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus goes, that's all right, if that's what you need. Come here, Thomas. And then at that point, my Lord and my God. And Thomas is, this isn't in the Bible, but it's church history and tradition credits Thomas with taking the gospel all the way to India. And there's sure a lot of St. Thomas churches down there. And one of my favorite leaders with Walk Through the Bible down there, his name is Thomas. And I'll tell you what, when somebody like your friend gets convinced, watch out, because then they become dangerous for God. Well, so be encouraged by that. But as now you've got your test case and mixed results there, but you didn't stop, and now it really starts to multiply. And let's try to just compact this down, but
okay.
Give us some dates. And it's not all about the numbers, but the Bible does say the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. And Walk Through the Bible is built on the miracle of multiplication, and you are the poster child for that. So off we go. From one friend, where do we go next?
Okay, so then it's 2014, and I felt compelled to reach out to some of the coworkers, ladies at Channel 7. That's where I worked, at the TV station where I worked. And it's so funny because I had some in mind that I was really hoping said yes, and I was having some in that I hoped didn't say yes, which is terrible. And of course, the ones I wanted and thought would said no, and some that I was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea, said yes.
Wow.
We had seven ladies from Channel 7, and we tried to meet monthly. So we would have those meetings, and that was great, but it wasn't enough. When you're reading every day, there just has to be more accountability. So that's when I started writing emails. I would write an email at least once a week, maybe twice a week. What did you think of the reading? What did you think of this? Just trying to get conversation and go back so that when we did meet monthly, there was so much to go over, we could handle those meetings. And I remember it clearly because that is the year I left Channel 7. I worked nights. I did the 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock. I wasn't seeing my kids. Sydney was five. We moved and I took a new job at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway. It all worked out. It was a crazy time. I didn't know how much I would need them for prayer and support, not to mention some of the things that those ladies went through that year. None of us knew. And just to be there as a support system, let alone reading through the Bible. So once we completed that, I'm suddenly having quite a bit of content. I've got a lot of these emails that I'm sending out. It wasn't daily, but it was at least twice a week or so. So when we move and we joined a new church and I was teaching in the Sunday school class, because that's usually where I would fall, I was telling them about reading through the Bible and they all were interested. They all wanted to do it. So I said, let's do it. That's January we started. 42 people signed up at that point. And this is where I'm starting to feel like accountability, like they're waiting for me to help them and, mm-hmm. and guide them and really get them through. So I'm now sending emails quite a bit. So I've got the ones that I used the year before, and then I start kind of adding content. And again, it's just to go with whatever's in the Bible. So the devotionals, the insight, the overviews. Hey, did you see this? Did you read this nugget? What were your favorite verses? And I'm just trying to encourage them. Now, these odds aren't great, but I have noticed as this has grown, these odds have stayed the same. 7 out of the 42 completed the whole Bible. Mm. That's just to tell you how hard it is. It is not condemning. It is not good or bad. It's just kind of a reality. So many people start in the beginning super excited, and it's hard to hang on to. It's hard to finish through the end. So after that, I kind of had this, okay, I've done this. I reached out to my Sunday school class. That's probably the most I can do. One person came to me and would have been maybe August or September and said, I really enjoyed that. Have you thought about doing it again and maybe putting it like on Facebook or online? And I laugh at Facebook. I kind of make fun of it, but then I love when it can be used for God's growth and for God's word. And I was so being not obedient. I was like, no, I don't think anyone's interested. I think it's run its course. It's okay. And then I started praying about it. And then I started listening. And boy, did the Holy Spirit stir something in me that said, do it. Give it a try. See what happens. What have you got to lose? So I did. I put it on Facebook. Does anybody want to read through the whole Bible with me? And people were sharing it. People were excited about it. And I believe it was 273 people signed up from just this Facebook post. So now I feel really committed. And that was when I now send out an email every single day. I was waking up in the morning. I would send out an email. I would say, what do you think? How's it going? We get the day off every week. So that had a little bit of rest on that. And we had 273 people. So then I decided to do it again. And we had 303 people sign up that next year. A lot of them would redo it. And I had said, I'm only going to do it every other year because it was really hard to not only get through Revelation during Christmas, which is what we're doing at the end of December, but also adding in all the emails for a new group. Just administratively, it was very difficult. So I said, I'm only going to do this every other year. That way, administratively, I can create these groups. And I'm just doing mm-hmm. blind carbon copy for the emails. That's all I'm doing. And right about the middle of, I think when we had 300, it was July, Google stopped sending my emails. They said, you're emailing too many people. That's not allowed. They want you to use a service. They want you to pay for something like this. So I called it Google/Satan trying to get in the way. Just kidding. But we had to come up with a new system. So I started using Google Groups, which was kind of clunky, but it was working for the time. We figured it out to keep going. So then I did it in 2019. And I believe that's when we had about 300. COVID happens. In 2021, I put it out again and we had 900 people sign up.
Wow.
And I was so floored. I mean, that's where I just, and I would maintain about the same percentage finishes, to be totally honest. It's a small percentage that actually does the whole thing. Some come and go, some finish it later. And then I started to hear from people that said, you know, when you don't do your Bible study, I don't read my Bible. I get used to the 15 minutes every day that you have me do. And then when you don't do it, I don't do it. And I just couldn't handle that. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it every year. I'm just going to figure it out and do it every year. So we've done it ever since 2021. And it was almost like there was a revival going on with COVID. I don't know. And then 2022, 2023, and in 2024, 1,500 people had signed up. We have a Facebook page, we have an email group. Now at this point, I'm sending out over 500,000 emails a year, and I did have to start paying for a service. We had a donor that helped us out because this is not something I was making money on. It was just something that I was really passionate about. However, it takes a lot of time and effort. I should probably be doing my business. I have a PR marketing firm that is the real job, but I want to spend all my time on this because I'm so passionate about it and I love it so much. And so we did switch to a pay-to-play model this year. I had a lot of advisors and a lot of mentors trying to help me figure out the best way to do this. And so we landed on $7 a month because seven is the number of completion and perfection in the Bible. And we said, if you can pay Netflix $7 a month, you can pay this $7 a month to help me pay for the service that sends out all the emails. So in a little bit of a revamp right now and hoping to grow and grow and grow as that continues. But it's also a very committed group. And so a lot of the 1,500 will fall off by the end because there's not that buy-in. And so far, we seem to have more that are with us still in June through Psalms, which I'll be honest, Psalms is hard for me. I was never into the poetry. I like the stories, beginning, middle, end. Some people love the poetry. So Psalms is hard for me. And we do lose some people in there usually, but some will come back afterwards and join us for the New Testament. So that's my goal.
So I just want to say one thing to you. I mean, completing it is great. If you do it in a year, wonderful. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to engage with Scripture and get to know the author of the book more personally. So you've got to stop the thinking that if they don't make it to the finish line, then they get DNF next to their game. Did not finish.
Well, and I'll take it a step further because I don't remember which year it was, but one of the years it was April. And not only was somebody not continuing, they let me know they want nothing to do with this God. They want nothing to do with this Bible, and they were turning away. And I promise you, I almost quit the whole thing because I thought if I'm hindering someone, not helping, and here, and I went to my Bible study leader and we really talked through this. But the conclusion that we came to is I don't get the blame because I don't get the credit. I'm not bringing anybody to Christ. I'm planting seeds. I'm sharing. That's great. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God is going to do that work, not me. So while I don't get the credit, I also don't get the blame. If somebody has a bad experience, I don't get that blame. But also, I'm not bringing people. I can bring them. I can share. I can plant a seed. But it is not me that's helping them. That's making them a Christ follower.
You've been reading about grace now for years, and on a new level, you're discovering grace. And I'll tell you what, as somebody who is a Bible teacher for a living, my perfectionism almost took me out of the ministry and sure drove my wife crazy. And she's like, everybody else is sitting around lunch on Sunday talking about what God said to him today, and I'm the only one who has to listen to you go, nope, I didn't plant the seed perfectly,
Oh,
so it's not
I
going to grow. She
understand.
goes, you've got to cut that out. And making progress on that, only
Yay.
67. I need
I'm with
to
you.
accelerate my progress. If somebody who's listening and watching this said, hey, I've tried it on my own, I even own a Daily Walk Bible or another copy of Scripture, what I'm missing is the community component of this. And, you know, Bible study was never meant to be a solo sport. You go back to when Paul would send those letters, those epistles to the churches. Everybody didn't get their own copy. They didn't go away quietly in their home. That was a public reading of Scripture. And that's why we now have a Daily Walk podcast, that if you're better at listening than reading, that's an option for you. And still, just the classic Daily Walk Bible sold way over 1 million copies now. Now it's reformatted. Got the journal, can go with it. But if Christina, if somebody said, I want to engage with Christina, I want to consider being part of this movement that God has birthed through a whole lot of pain in her life, how would they best connect with you?
100%. We have a hashtag, and the name of all of it is EveryWord365. And that really came from looking for hashtags that weren't taken. Mm-hmm. We read every word in 365 days. And so it was really my daughter, when she was 12 years old, this is when that name started. She's so cute. She said, Mom, you need merch, you know, because she's cool with the lingo, merch. And so I had actually a vinyl maker and a heat press, and we started making t-shirts. And so when we did those t-shirts, that hashtag is on every t-shirt, that it says, we have different ones. Some say every word of the word. Some say our faith is based on one book. Have you read it? And then hashtag every word 365. So that if you go to any of those social media platforms, you can probably find me. You can probably find it. You can always message me. You can somehow find me. It was a universal way of finding me. If you were interested, maybe you saw somebody's t-shirt and maybe it struck a chord with you. And so every word 365. And so I do have an actual podcast, Every Word 365. I'm on YouTube, Every Word 365. And I put it on TikTok because why not? This is where the kids are. And it's been fun to see random people all over the world on TikTok pick up on this and start following along a little bit. And so once I had the resource, I just decided to put it out everywhere. And then I got sponsorships that have come and gone throughout the time that just believe in what we're doing and want to help us reach the masses and help more people. But that Every Word 365 is kind of the doing business as title that we chose for this venture. Because as an independent business owner, I have lots of different, you know, things. I went back to theater and dance because my kids do. So I teach 5 dance classes a week. I do choreography for the local theaters. So I'm back in that. I still do advertising, PR, marketing. And then I have the Bible study. And it's been really fun because I was a news anchor here for 12 years. And so getting recognized in grocery stores is something that's super common. That's just the way it goes because we were on TV. My kids have seen the transition that I am more recognized for the Bible study than I am for being formerly on TV. And we think that's so cool because talk about taking a passion and taking something that I believe I was made for and running with it.
So Every Word 365, great name. Yes. And we are just so delighted to be able to partner with you. And for everybody else who's watching and listening this, it may be you want to align yourself with Every Word 365, but I'll guarantee you there's some men and women and probably some teenagers watching this right now that, you know, there's the pull for yourself, but you also have concern for your friends. And, you know, it doesn't have to start with a daily email. Maybe it's just getting together once a week, maybe even every couple of weeks. But there's some people in your sphere of influence that need this same opportunity to connect with God through His Word. So share this podcast with them, but then don't just leave it there, because this isn't about a third person named Christina. This is about you personally and what God may want to birth through your life. So that's my prayer, is that God will take even this single episode of Step Into the Story, and that's what will happen. We'll find the intersection of His story and our story. Christina, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for just your passion about this. And we will continue to pray for you. And I'll make you a deal. You send me a couple of t-shirts. You don't even have to have them in my size. And I'll send you the updated Daily Walk Bible and the brand new journal. And you see if that might help you in your ministry as well. But thank you for sharing your story together.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. We'll see everybody next time that we gather here with another guest on Step Into the Story. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for the Step Into the Story podcast, powered by Walk Through the Bible. We'd love to hear what you think by giving us a review on iTunes or Google Play. Also, don't miss a single episode by clicking the subscribe button. If you'd like more resources to help you explore and live God's Word in your daily life, visit walkthrough.org. That's W-A-L-K, thru.org. Walk through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.